the Emmaus story is a lovely story to have shortly after Easter Sunday. It's a very ordinary story. Here are two disciples going on a journey. Now, maybe they're just trying to get away from potential trouble, or maybe there's something they simply have to do, a need to be somewhere else. After all, they've heard of the rumour that has started. First the women and then some of the closest disciples claim that the tomb is empty and that they have been told that Jesus is alive. So these aren't just disciples fleeing in the initial fear of arrest and persecution. And on their journey, Jesus begins to accompany them. We're told that their eyes are kept from recognising him. And we're not quite sure whether that's a problem with themselves and their own inability to recognise Jesus, or whether this is something of the purposes of God, to buy some time, if you like, to do some work that needs to be done. Maybe if they simply recognise Jesus, they'll run back to Jerusalem, but with no more story than the other disciples already have. Something important needs to happen first. In fact, two things. Firstly, they need their vision realigned. It was common amongst the disciples and the people, and even those closest to Jesus, to misunderstand what he was about, to expect him to be a different kind of Messiah. And there was good reason for this. The commonly held view was that the Messiah would raise the army, would throw out the oppressor, would reform the faith, not would go meekly to death on a cross. Jesus came to fulfill a different plan, not humanity's plan, but God's. And for people to understand this, it required they see him in a different light. And so he explains to them the scriptures concerning him. Scriptures which explain that his role is the role that has come to be fulfilled, helping them to understand the role of Messiah in a different way. But then something else equally important needs to happen. In Jesus' day and in Jesus' part of the world, the rules of hospitality were highly important. Travelling was never pleasant, and it was even dangerous under the peace of Rome. So people would travel together whenever they could for safety's sake. And at the end of the day, rather than leave somebody to wander alone in the dark, they would invite their guest in to share food with them. But Jesus is the guest here. It's not his job to break bread and to pass the wine around. That's theirs, or whoever owns the house. But that's precisely what he does. He reminds them of what happened just a short while before, when bread was first broken and wine first shared and a new meaning given. And it's in this act that they recognise him. And then the remarkable happens. We're told it's getting dark, and if you've been to that part of the world, you know how dark, how quickly it can get dark. And they rush back to Jerusalem, 7 miles, 7 miles in the dark, taking the risk because something has changed for them that has changed them forever. In a few moments, we're going to break bread and pour wine and symbolically share that amongst us as we seek that union with Christ that those first disciples knew. As we do so, let part of our prayer be that God would reopen our eyes so that we can see God at work in this world with a fresh vision and with fresh hope. And maybe to see God at work in people, in places, in situations where we'd not normally expect to see God at work. For our God, we know, is indeed a God of surprises.